And for me, that like has personal significance because I missed Easter, right? I wasn't here. And so I'm calling this redemption. And I had, you know, at first I was really praying. I was like, you know, I think I could be done with the, you know, the series, the X marks the spot. I mean, really the last couple messages were the simplicity of the gospel that is Good Friday, Jesus died, and Easter Sunday that he rose from the dead, it happened, you know, and yet then I had a few people saying, oh, you really ought to finish that. And so anyway, in my prayers, it's become something completely different. But I am going to kind of preach like it's Easter. How many know that, like, is the message every day of our lives that Jesus is alive and the cross and everything that is there? And so I've kind of turned it into top 10, at the cross, top 10. All right? And then as I started listening, so X marks the spot, what happened at the cross, right? So one of those final words of Jesus in red letters from the cross are those words, it is finished. It is finished. Now, Trish will tell you, grammar-wise, it is a pronoun, and it refers to something. Like, it's pretty generic, right? Like, what is finished? And so I want to kind of like help fill us in on that. And so I started just kind of praying through. And I think every preacher could kind of come up with their own top 10 looking at the Word of God. You could come up with kind of your top 10. Like some of the things that Pastor Mike preached on Good Friday and Easter. Like he talked about adoption. He talked about your past has been redeemed. Like those are things that happened at the cross. Those are things that were finished. And so I will tell you, there is some level of nuance that these are Pastor Sam's top 10. It is finished. But they're all based on the Word of God. And just to relieve you, I know that I can't preach 10 things in 1 week. So you're getting 5 this week, and you're getting 5 next week. And they are in no particular order. Like, so I know usually a top 10 is kind of like a countdown. You go from 10, like being kind of like the 10th best answer to the number one. I would say these are in no particular order. There's going to be overlap between them, but just some different nuanced ways to help us to find. Like, it's one thing to just sit there and proclaim, it is finished, but do you know what's finished? Can we help fill in that pronoun, and what is it that is finished? So here's 2 Corinthians, is that correct? I like this verse right here. This is the na-na-na-na-boo-boo of the resurrection. You're like, what are you talking about? It's like a literal taunt, if you will, that comes here. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Do I have the last verse on there for that one? I didn't put the last one on there. Verse 57 declares, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The victory. But like that, the death has been swallowed up in victory. That's the resurrection, right? It is finished. Here it is. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, that feels like a necessary one to add on there. Thanks, Ben. And it was my fault because I didn't put the right numbers on the paper. And so today, victory. Like, it is finished. Like, I have, like, kind of, like, main ideas. Something like this. Let me say this. So what I will be doing in the next couple weeks, I am going to, I mentioned this on my Friday, Good Friday Bible study kind of thing, is particularly in the Gospel of John, they talked about Christ had not yet been glorified. And in John's theology, if you will, Jesus being glorified was the death and the resurrection. Like, he makes no separation between the two. So I'm going to kind of do that with you as we go through the next couple weeks. When I talk about the cross or I talk about the resurrection, I'm going to use them interchangeably because they are one and the same. Now, I get it. when the disciples were there, there was the 3 days, there was the in-between where it felt like death and it felt like loss and it felt like defeat. But we know the end of the story, okay? So we're here on the other side. The cross is the resurrection. The resurrection is the cross. You can't have one without the other. And so when I talk about it is finished, it has everything to do. I mean, yes, Jesus was talking about my life's over. Yes, he was talking about I've accomplished the mission of God that he has sent me. But he ultimately was talking about redemption is complete. Redemption is complete. I've died, the Lamb of God that was slain, knowing and trusting, into your hands I commend my spirit, Father, knowing that the Father was faithful and would resurrect him from the dead. And so the death and the resurrection, I put those together interchangeably as we talk about this, okay? And so we're defining, it is finished. So main idea sounds something like this. The cross / resurrection represents a finality to victory for your reality. Okay? A finality to victory for your reality. And so as we go through this, there are two purposes I have. One is to be a joyous proclamation of truth, a joyous proclamation of what has been accomplished in the cross of Jesus Christ. Like it ought to encourage us, it ought to strengthen us to know what has been accomplished, what is finished, right? Like it ought to produce an amen within us. And that's not me asking you for amens. If you say amen, that's completely on you, okay? But I get it. Like there's a joyous proclamation. And I like Easter for that reason. We get to proclaim Jesus is alive. We get to proclaim salvation is complete. But on the other side, so I told you two things that are happening. So it's finality to victory. There's that for your reality. It's also an in-your-face challenge. Are you living the victory? It's one thing to say there is victory. There's one thing to say it is complete. It's another thing to like change it, that question around and look at your life. Is it finished? Is it finished in your life? Are you living the reality of the cross / resurrection? Are you living that victory that has been provided for you? And so, all right, are you ready to begin? Pastor Sam's top 10 at the cross. Number one, is love defined and displayed? So I purposely chose that song, Jesus, He Loves Me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart. His nail-scarred hands. There's healing. Like he loves me. There's a cross that speaks and displays the love of God. So one of the most classic verses, I could unload the entire Bible on you going through this. And so I've tried to only give like one or two verses for each of these. But there, you can probably sit there and help fill in like how the cross defines the love of God. I know Pastor Mike talked about the agape love when you talked about Peter being restored. Like that word in itself, there is a very definition of the word love that is rooted in who God is. Like that, like it's not even just a spiritual thing. Like in culture and in the Greek language, agape is a kind of love that can only be defined by the cross. Like we love the love chapter. We quote it at weddings, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I always read to the first part of verse 8, you know, the love is patient, love is kind, and all of those kind of things. And it says, love always perseveres. And then it says, love never fails. Now, you say that and people are sitting there like, oh, yeah, well, they haven't been to my family. They haven't been through my life. They haven't seen what I've seen. But you know what? That statement is true because when the love is real, when the love is defined the way that the cross defines it, that love always wins. That love never fails. And that's why we proclaim that at a wedding. That's why we look at Ephesians 5:25 that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her. Like, love is defined in the sacrifice of the cross. It's defined in the very nature of God. Did you know the Word of God says? God is love. God doesn't just have love. God doesn't just know love. He is love. And it's displayed and defined ultimately in the cross. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life. That's what Jesus did. So I just gave you all the free verses that are not on the screen. But Romans 5:8 tells us this. Romans 5:8. If you don't know this one, you need to know this one. Like, this is to the core of it is finished. Like, what is that it? It is. Love has been shown. Love has been revealed. And it says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The very demonstration of God's love is this cross. He loves us. He loves us. I say defined and displayed, so it's displayed, demonstrated. And the defined, I told you one of my new favorite verses has been added to my list. I think as I've gone through this passage, I added about five new favorites. But I've mentioned this one before. As much as we love John 3:16, God so loved the world. Once again, he loved the world that he gave his son. Love, defined, displayed. But 1 John 3:16 says this. You want to talk about love defined? Like, when I read this, I'm like, I can't say it any better than that. This is how we know what love is. Like, how many know that's a pretty big statement right there? This is John, like, later in his life, writing these epistles. And John was all about the love of God, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I love that John calls himself that. He was all about the love. Did you know church history says that... So John was the one disciple who was not martyred. He was the only one who lived. You know, God had that special plan with the Isle of Patmos and writing the book of Revelation. But it was said that he died of old age in Ephesus, going around saying, love one another. I could just picture a really old John saying, love one another. Like, I'm the one that Jesus loved, and you're the one that Jesus loves. And here is John, hear it from his heart. He says, this is how we know what love is. And he points to the cross. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's how we know. And so there's a couple challenges here that follow. Here's the challenge to this point. It's because I like rhyming. It's, what do you do with this love? You know and show. You know and show. Have you experienced the real love of God? You can, because there's a cross. You can. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. There's a cross. God demonstrated his love that while I was a sinner, while I didn't deserve it, while I had betrayed him, while I was nothing, while I was lost, while I was in chains, he loved me and he died for me. Do you know that? Like, that's the reality. That's the in-your-face challenge side of this. You can know the love of God today because there's a cross. But the other side is to show it. So back to that verse. I'm sorry, Ben. I know you got to flip back and forth. I didn't finish the verse. I purpose. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. What did Jesus say? Love one another as I have loved you. Here's John saying, that's love. Now love. That's how you love. This is how you love. Now love. How many know we don't always walk in the perfect love of God, do we? And I love that we are invited to know the love of God. Oh, there's just so many good verses I could bring. I love the Ephesians chapter 3, that you would know the height and the breadth and the love that is beyond comprehension. be filled to the fullness of God, like to explore and to know the love of God. But the more we know the love of God, the more we're able to show the love of God. And we need to be a church that's living and it is finished. Love has been revealed. I mean, it's always been about love, right? You go back to the law and it's love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. But the fullness of that revelation is found in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why John can say, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life. All right, that's just one, so I better keep going. You got it? Love defined and displayed. The finality to the victory to your reality. I hope you're living a know and show kind of life. That you're living in the fullness of knowing that love. And you have a heart that says, I want to show that very love to this world. That's a good message all by itself. Number two, we're going with, price is paid. Paid in full. You want to start singing? Jesus paid it all. Like there was a price that was paid. When we talk about, remember John the Baptist, we sang it, worthy is the Lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I know at the heart of this is the essentials to salvation. Like sin is the problem. We were born into sin. Adam sinned, and all of us inherited that same sin problem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one that is righteous. You'll never be good enough. You never could be good enough. Paul argues that the law couldn't save you. It could tell you that you're wrong, but it couldn't save you. That's not what we need, is more rules. We don't need to try harder. Like the only solution was something had to be done about the sin that separates us from God. Well, that's something was a someone in God's Son who became the perfect Lamb, the once and for all sacrifice that died and paid the price so that the obstacle of sin could be removed. Now, I told you there's going to be overlap next week. I'm going to talk about relationship restored, but I'm saving that one for next week. But you can't get to relationship restored until you establish that something had to be done about sin. Our God is holy. And his love is perfect, and his love is only perfect because he's holy, and he can't just let sin be ignored. There had to be a price paid for sin, and Jesus paid that price for you and I. So I know in Romans, Paul gets kind of high and lofty, you know, with his arguments kind of thing, and I don't have time to unload all of Romans on you, but there are... I thought about getting into like the word propitiation, but I'm going to spare you that one, but it's in your King James, go look it up kind of thing. It's in Romans 3:25, but let's go to Romans chapter 5. I think this is the most, to me, the most understandable part in Paul's logic. And so he talks about sin being the problem and Jesus being the answer. Can I make it that simple for you today? He says this, for it is by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man. So he's talking about Adam and his disobedience brought sin and death into this world by one man. But he says, how much more will those receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So in the same way that Adam's disobedience brought sin into every person's life and to all this world, the one perfect person, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying in sacrifice, like the opposite of disobedience, is now this obedient unto death, as Philippians says it. So consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. And so his death brings life to all of us. And so he had to pay the price. He took the punishment. That's that propitiation that satisfied the wrath of God. Like there had to be a punishment paid for sin, and Jesus was it. And you can read about Jesus dying and know he took a beating. He took the nails. He bled. He died. And he didn't deserve it. But because of that, the price is paid. So what does that look like in your life? So it is finished. The price is paid. You know some verses because you sing it in songs sometime. But in Jesus Messiah, we sing, he became sin who knew no sin that we might become his righteousness. That's from, I think, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is where that comes from. But he became sin. So the price is paid. I challenge you with this. So what is the reality is we have to be careful because we don't always understand grace properly. Grace means I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it. I know I'm quoting to you songs again, but that's great. The unmerited favor of God that you can't be good enough, you can't win God's favor. He did it. He paid it. And unfortunately, we sometimes misunderstand and we're still trying to win the favor of God. We're still trying to be good enough. We're still striving in our own strength to say, I want God to like me. And I'm not telling you, it doesn't mean that we ought not live a righteous life. That ought to flow out of our love from God, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. Flows out of relationship that we would honor God with our lives. The reasonable act of worship is that we would be holy and pleasing unto God. That's the right reason to live for him. But there's a lot of us who get caught up in the striving and we get caught up in trying to pay the price ourselves. And I know, that's hard to kind of wrap our minds around. One of the ways that I think that's often revealed is when you look at what do you do with failure? And I get it. Sin separates us from God. And one of the first things we sense when we fail is we sense that distance. But you know what? Often if we don't have the right mentality, the accepting and living in the victory. So the right mentality says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all unrighteousness, and he becomes my righteousness. And through repentance, there's instant forgiveness and restoration. But if your mindset is, well, somehow, here's where I've seen it in my life, is where I feel like I got to put myself in timeout, like I somehow have to, I can't be with you right now, Jesus, because I've been bad. Maybe that's oversimplifying, but that's how our thinking goes when we're trying to pay the price ourselves. And I just want you to tell you that the price is paid. It is finished. And there's going to be times in your life where you just got to stand upon that. It's not something you feel. I think there's times in our life where God gives us this kind of special impartation of knowing that forgiveness. But it's something you know. It's truth. And it's the kind of truth that will set you free from being bound by law and being bound by your sin. The price is paid. It is finished. Let me follow in. So this flows directly into number three that I have here on the list. As we go from the price is paid to forgiveness found. You know, you almost can't talk about them separately, but at the same time, you have to understand that Jesus became that sacrifice, and because he's that sacrifice, now forgiveness is found. So Jesus on that cross said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That forgiveness is available. The thief did nothing his entire life righteous, and yet, in the statement of faith, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus granted him those words, this day you will be with me in paradise. This forgiveness that is found because he paid the price. You know, Romans 8:1 that tells us there is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You and I are forgiven. Like, is that your reality? Are you living forgiven? So I'm going to look at a couple verses in Colossians. Like I said, I could throw all kinds of verses about forgiveness. And we're doing the both and thing, okay? This is kind of like the first point where there's like a no and show. Like, we're supposed to like receive and give forgiveness, right? That's the challenge of forgiveness. Just like the love, like you need to live in the reality that you are forgiven and understand that there's a call to forgive as you've been forgiven, right? I know that's simplicity, but it's understanding it is finished. It's understanding X marks the spot, what happened at the cross. So here's what Colossians says. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Like, there is a very legal language that is being used in this passage right there. This idea that there were charges against you. All have sinned. Like, there were legit charges. And every one of you, you don't have to think real hard. It's like, yep. And when he died, because he was righteous, because he paid the price, and he became sin, it says that list, those grievances, it was nailed with him to the cross. It is finished. The price was paid, and forgiveness is yours. Like, it changed your standing before God, the judge. Your status went from accused to forgiven. Is that good news? Just go ahead and say it. I'm forgiven. If I have time, if I can get to the end here, we're going to sing that. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted because you were condemned. Isn't that awful that most of our theology comes from our songs? But I'm glad that our songs contain good theology, okay? So I'll do both and. I'm going to lament the idea that we don't actually know the Word of God and we know the songs. And yet I'm glad the songs reflect the Word of God, all right? So sorry, forgive me for that ramble. In the same Colossians, so let's jump to chapter 3 in Colossians. It then comes this challenge, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances. Look at that same word there. This idea we've got a list of charges. Whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Living in that reality means I am forgiven and I forgive. I could do the scare tactic way, like Jesus said, you know, like when he did the Lord's Prayer kind of thing, he kind of tagged on there, like, if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father won't forgive. Like, it's an understood, if you've been forgiven, you will forgive. You remember the whole story about the guy who was forgiven the huge debt that went out and choked the guy who owed him just a couple bucks? If you don't remember the end of the story, like, he went to the bad place, like, torment, weeping, gnashing of teeth kind of thing. Like, that was his end because he didn't get it. You've been forgiven, so forgive. It is finished. And sometimes you're going to have to tell yourself when there's real grievances in your life, somebody hurts you, somebody does you wrong, you're going to have to stand on it is finished. You know what? I've been forgiven. I can forgive. I know that's easier to say than to do. But that's the call. That's the finality to the victory that is our reality. Are you living a forgiven kind of life? I've been forgiven, and I am a forgiver. Amen? All right. We're doing okay on time. I'm going to get done in time. All right, number 4. See, I'm really glad I didn't try to do all 10. It just would not have happened. This has no alliteration or rhyme to it. I'm sorry. Trish usually fixes it for me. I could have came up with all the other ones have a little bit of alliteration in there. Alliteration means I start with the same letter in case I do that kind of thing. The future set. I just like that wording. So I'm building on. So Pastor Mike talked about past is gone. And that's absolutely true. It is finished. I'm not what I was because of the cross of Jesus Christ. But I'd like to just build on that. That your destiny is sealed because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Like you're on your way to heaven with him forever in glory. It's really good news. But that's hard to live out in our reality. That's hard to live out in our reality. Like I got lots of songs for you. Like the old hymn, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Like there is a blessedness. There is a state of completeness in knowing that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I was not meant to live forever in this broken world. And Jesus loved me and he saved me and it is finished. And I'm going to live with him forever. Like the promise is, you're going to be resurrected. Like sometimes we just get stuck with this idea of, you know, our souls go on to live forever. No, the Bible teaches a bodily resurrection. You live forever. You. It's a glorified flesh, a glorified body. I don't ask me what that's like, but I'm pretty sure it's really good. I'm going to be really good looking. I'll never be sweaty again. And I'm pretty sure you get to eat in a glorified body. Pretty sure. And calories don't exist. I don't know. And I'm getting caught up on the wrong thing because that's minimal to this idea that our future is set. Like Apostle Paul lived there, didn't he? Like there was an invincibility to his spirit. He said, like, do your worst. I'm out of here anyway. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. Best case scenario, live with him forever, bring it. And like, you look at what he went through, the average Christian today, if they went through that, would be like, trust me, I get the phone calls. Shed a few tears myself. Do you know Christians could be some of the whiniest people? We are. And we shouldn't be. Like, there ought to be, like, that invincibility that Paul had. Like, this is just temporary. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm just passing through. Like, this is just a blip in my forever. In fact, I almost believe that some of the stuff we got to walk through in this life is just to remind us that we weren't made for this. Like, we get a little too comfortable here sometimes. And I'm not saying God's going to come hit you on the side of the head and upset your life. Like, that's not who God is. But like, that ought to be, like, where we end up when we kind of go through some stuff. It's like, thanks for the reminder, Lord, that this is not my eternity. That this is just temporary. Just passing moment. Bring on another shipwreck. Another snake bite. Whip me one more time. Throw rocks at me and think I'm dead. Go ahead. Because this is not my forever. Jesus is my forever. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I like this one. One of my new favorites. In Corinthians, is this 1st or 2nd Corinthians? I don't remember. 2nd Corinthians 5? I'm just guessing. Whatever the next verse is, but 2nd Corinthians 4, close enough. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Anybody guilty of losing heart? You go through some stuff and it discourages, frustrates. I know, it's a reality of humanity. It's a reality of our emotions. I get that. But this is, once again, this is Paul, who was a different character altogether. He says, we don't lose heart, because though all outwardly we're wasting away, our bodies are breaking down. People around us are dying. They're suffering. There's pain all around. Yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary trouble. Once again, do you, everything that Paul, like, how dismissive is that? Everything he walked through, light, momentary, it's ain't no thing. Just another shipwreck. No biggie. Like Paul made people scratch their heads. Like, what's wrong with you? Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Like, if we could live there, the future is set, and there is a glory to come that has nothing to do with what I'm walking through here. And I know, like, every one of you could tell me your stories. Every one of you have seen heartache. You've lost someone. You've been through brokenness. You've been through pain. But it ain't no thing compared. Like I know I did this, like, when we were in quarantine. I did the whole scale kind of thing. That's the wording, the imagery that Paul is doing. Like, back then they would have measured money and value with scales, right? They would literally use the weights and measurements. And the word glory itself means the heaviness of God. The word weight and glory are exchangeable. And sometimes we want to get on one end of the scale and we just want to stack all of our stuff. I got this, and I've got this, and I've got this. And it feels so heavy, but compared to who God is, you put the glory on the other end, and it just gets flung into the air, and it doesn't matter. In the light of who he is, in the light of eternity. And that's you and I. That's our destiny. That's our design. And so next time you walk through something, don't get weighed down in it. As Paul says, don't lose heart. Because it's just a reminder, you weren't made for this. Did I finish that verse, Ben? So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's forever. Like, it depends on how we look and how we perceive. And when we understand it is finished, I'm a citizen of heaven, and that's my destiny, and that's my forever. It's amazing how we can take on a little bit of invincibility. Come on, bring it. And maybe you're not there. Hey, I welcome the next trial, and I welcome the next heartache. And come on, 2020, give me your 2021. I don't care. Because guess what? These years are nothing compared to who he is. And so be encouraged today. Look, this is temporary. Get your eyes off of that. Get your eyes on that which is forever. Forever. All right, let's bring this home. Becca, we'll, if you get on the piano and start playing, that will help me do the last point really fast. Now, next time I start preaching and you guys are like, Becca, go up there. I know what that means. The final one for today is, it is finished, is this, that the gift of grace is given. Grace. Like, it's been the undertones of everything we've talked about. The good old acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's if you spell it out, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a pretty good way to define it. That he paid it. So now we're forgiven. And we are the beloved children of God whose future has been set and we belong to him. That's where you were saved. Like so often we say, so when were you saved? And we'll talk about, well, I prayed on this date or whatever. Do you know when you were saved? You were saved at the cross. Now, I think there was a moment in time when you came into the knowledge of that and you came to trust that and to choose that, but that gift was not given at that moment that you prayed. The gift was given at the cross when you understand it is finished for me. Jesus paid it for me. It's my forgiveness. He loves me. The gift is given. For here's a couple grace verses for you. Go, start playing or I'll keep preaching. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus paid it. Jesus did it. It is finished. Here is where you were saved. The gift is given. All we bring is faith. And that we trust and receive. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you've heard my Christmas altar call. The greatest tragedy if I had $1 million wrapped up as if you had thrown it away in the garbage and said, that gift's from Pastor Sam, so it's stupid. And he'd be like, the greatest gift is the love and the forgiveness and the eternity available for every one of us that is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that gift is offered today. You can't earn it, you can't deserve it, but you can trust it. You can receive it. So if you bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to ask you today, and I know a lot of us here and probably most of us here have made a choice in our lives to receive what was finished for us. But if you're here today and said, you know what, I have never said, Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, you finished it for me. Jesus, you loved me. Jesus, you forgave me. And I want to receive that today. If you're here today and you haven't done that and you just would like to do that together with us, would you just raise your hand so that I have not received Jesus as my Savior and I want to do that. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Now, if I ask it the other way, how many of you said, you know what, I have received Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Oh, good. That's everyone. I like that. So, I don't get to add anybody to the stats. But you know what? That's really good news for every one of us today. Would you just stand with me? We got time to sing this one time. Let's just sing through the verse and through the chorus about this amazing love. Let's reaffirm today that it is finished for me. The challenge is once again, look at your reality. Are you living in the reality of the victory that was brought into finality because of the cross?